first book of Samuel, chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there came out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. And David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." And he wore from his youth. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said moreover, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Let us pray. We turn then to 1 Samuel chapter 17. The war with the Philistines was entering a new phase. They were now making an incursion into the territory of Israel, gathering, we read in verse 1, at a place called Ephes-Damim, a name which means the boundary of blood. And no doubt it was so named because of the continual fighting and the many deaths which took place there. Where was this place, Ephes-Damim? Well, it was about 12 to 14 miles west of Bethlehem. There were the Philistines gathered in the valley of Elah, but also gathered in close proximity were Saul and his army. Indeed, according to these opening verses, verse 3 I'm thinking of particularly, they were facing the Philistines on the hill on the other side of the Valley of Elah. So we are to imagine a great army of heathen men, ferocious and cruel, on one hill, and then on the opposite hill, Israel, its mighty warriors. Goliath, the Philistines' champion, appears to have been a survivor of those people we read of so often in the opening chapters of the first five books of Moses, the Anakim. You'll read of them in Deuteronomy 9 and verse 2. "A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak. They're mentioned also in the book of Joshua, in Joshua 11 and verse 21, where we read that they cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Israel. A race of exceedingly strong people, mighty in physique. Goliath came from them. And he came down from the Philistine hill and began to strut in the valley, taunting the Israelites. It must have been some sight. He was a very powerful stature. We know that Israel's king Saul was head and shoulders above the rest of the children of Israel, but Goliath exceeded that and surpassed Saul's height. According to the measurements given here, he was 9 foot 9 inches tall. The armor which he carried weighed 125 pounds. And he had a spear in his hand, which the historian says was like a beam. And the iron head of this spear weighed no less than 17 pounds. Therefore, a formidable man by all accounts. And he boldly issued a challenge. And the challenge was that he would take on one of the Israelites. And whoever won, their side would be the victors. The other side, the seventh. Well, we read that the Israelites were dismayed, verse 11, and greatly afraid. And then we read of David. Now, he had been commuting between his house in Bethlehem and Saul's court. And we read in verse 15 that David went and returned from Saul. He'd been in the court of Saul, as we know, but he returned to his home for a season. He wasn't permanently employed in the king's court. But at this time, he happened to be sent by Jesse, his father, with some provisions for three of his brothers who were fighting in the army. And he arrived to hear the Philistine defy Israel's God and the armies of Israel. Goliath did this day after day. We read for 40 days. And it was during that period that David heard him himself. And this young man became concerned, and increasingly so. We imagine that he was stirred in his own spirit, and that he was moved by the Spirit of God. He began to speak in terms of challenge to the giant. We read in this chapter how he was reproved by Eliab, his elder brother, and also by others with whom he spoke. But eventually, David's apparent willingness to take on was reported to King Saul. So David was summoned into Saul's presence. Saul tried to put him down, arguing that Goliath was a seasoned warrior, that David was a mere youth, unfamiliar with warfare. David, however, responded, and he responded to that in an impressive way, recounting past victories which he had over a lion and over a bear, and declaring his faith in God's power to give him like victory over the giant. We read again in verse 34, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. My servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said moreover, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And those last words are particularly impressive. "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." I want to speak of just two things tonight. And the headings are taken indeed from the text. First of all, the lion and the bear. And secondly, the Philistine. One looks into the past, where he encountered the lion and the bear. The other looks into the future, in which he will face the giant. I hope to show you as I proceed that this text might be a relevant one for us. It might be relevant to us individually. I hope it will be, as we take courage from the past to face the future. But it's also a very apt text for us as a people and as a church, because we are approaching an anniversary, the 53rd of the church and the 35th of my own ministry. And it would be as well for us to look back, and supported and inspired by what is in the past, look forward. "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." First of all then, the lion and the bear. David was a young man, but he had already been tried, and on occasions he had met with great and serious difficulty. Now he's referring here in verse 34 to an incident with a lion and a bear. I don't think for one minute he's talking about one particular event. He's referring to different occasions as he recalls his time on the hills around Bethlehem. One time a lion came, another time a bear came. Now, why do we think they're separate occasions? Well, there's the obvious reason, of course, that lions and bears never hunt together. So the likelihood of two beasts of this nature attacking a flock is unheard of. And secondly, it couldn't have been that they both attacked, because David speaks of one lamb and took a lamb, verse 34, out of the flock. Now obviously it couldn't have been the same lamb. So it was one lamb on one day and one lamb on another day. And thirdly, we see that David immediately afterwards speaks of only one beast, as if he's treating of one particular event. I went after him, not them, him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. So we are to conclude from this that, as David recalls, there were separate occasions when he was endangered by a lion and a bear. A similar thing happened on both occasions, that the flock was attacked. And David, as a good shepherd, sought to protect the flock and to deliver the lamb that was particularly in peril. Lions and bears were common in these times in Palestine. And that mainly because the country of Palestine was densely wooded then. And wild beasts, which usually lived in the heights of Lebanon or in the thickets of Jordan, sometimes strayed across the boundaries into the pastures of Judea. So David recalls times when they did just that, seizing the lambs of his flock. And when they did, he, by the strength then given to him, forced the beasts to release their prey. And when he had delivered the lamb from the jaws of these beasts, the beasts turned on him. They arose against him, verse 35. And turning to attack him, he struck them and killed them with what must have been his shepherd's rod. Now, says David, that happened before those beasts. I was but a young and weak man, but God gave me the might to overcome them. And I remember it well. Now, O King, the God, the hill of Bethlehem, will be the God of the valley of Elah. And I believe, in the light of past experience, that I will be enabled to overcome the Philistine. The doctrine, really, of the text is this: personal experience from the past gives confidence and assurance for the future. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. The text is, first of all, a call to us, a call to remember. David reminisced. He searched the years which had gone, and he came up with examples which met his need now as he faced one of the greatest challenges of his life. My friends, we are apt to forget important incidents, answers to prayer, days in which we saw God appear for us. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 106 and verse 7, these words are found: "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies." And is that not true of us? That although God has in past years been gracious to us and has undertaken for us and has granted us great deliverance, yet we remember not the multitude of his mercies. And we are therefore exhorted time and again to call such things to mind. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, Moses says this: "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years." It is an exhortation to us not to allow important events in our lives, important happenings, to be lost in oblivion. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16:9, "How is it that ye do not remember or consider?" And I think sometimes our faith fails and our power diminishes because we haven't these things brought to the front of our minds. We are apt to forget. Psalm 103, of course, the opening verses say, "But Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." It would be good tonight, if you face a Goliath in your life, just call to mind that you faced difficulties in the past and God has been your aid and your help. And that will minister to you in the present. As a church, whatever we may face in the future, we do search for memories of the past when the church has been in straits and has been divinely secured. And in the strength of past experience, we can face whatever lies ahead of us. We must not forget. Rather, we must remember. Now, the Lord's people, when they are in a right spiritual state, they do seek not to allow these things to lie forgotten. They do seek to raise these things from the depths of memory and bring them again to the fore. Think, for example, of Abraham's servant in Genesis chapter 24. What an amiable character this man was. And you'll remember how he speaks to Laban in Genesis 24, from verse 34. And he says how his master made him swear and how he had travelled from his master's house to the land where now he is. And verse 42, I came this day, he's recalling this, I came this day unto the well. And I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well. It shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water at thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before, and he's still reflecting on past events, before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebecca came. The godly old man was remembering. You have it also in the psalmist in Psalm 37. And of course elsewhere in the book of Psalms, where he says that he had been young, but he'd never seen the righteous forsaken. Looking back to the past, remembering the faithfulness of God in yesteryear. And you have it in the New Testament, perhaps in an unlikely place, but you have it in the first two chapters of Luke's Gospel, particularly with respect to Mary, that when those strange events relating to the incarnation of our Lord took place, we read that Mary kept all these and pondered them in her heart. In other words, such was her godliness that she intended never to forget these things, but rather to muse upon them with a view to these things bringing help to her in days to come. You notice here how David does not forget, but calls to mind. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. I think that shows him to be in a godly state, in a spiritual frame. And certainly the events which will follow this in his attack upon Goliath and his victory over that man showed that he was indeed spiritually empowered. You'll notice how he speaks of the Lord here, not just incidents, spiritually recalled, and those two points are important, but the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He doesn't see it as, well, I've been through times like this before and somehow I got along. You hear worldly people talk like that sometimes. Oh, I've been in straits, just like this, in times past, but I got through. And it's all self-effort, and ultimately self-praise. But David says, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He owns that God was with him in his past life. And the more he reflects spiritually upon those events, the more he sees that in his natural strength he could never have slain the lion and could never have slain the bear. The Lord delivered me. And he owns God. It is not always the case, is it? We read of a people in Isaiah chapter 1 who didn't own God. Listen to these words. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. The ox seems to recognize that his owner is the provider. But a sinful and unbelieving people do not seem to recognize that God is the deliverer. Israel doth not know nor consider. You have it also in the prophecy of Hosea and chapter 2 and verse 8. And there we read this. She did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and her gold. She did not know. But David knew. He had an activated memory. It was a sanctified memory. And it was a memory that gave honor to God. Now I think there is great usefulness in remembrance. Spiritual remembrance of the works of God. There is a psalm. It's Psalm 70, which has a somewhat unusual title. It reads thus: To the chief musician, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. So David wrote the psalm to aid him and his memory, so that he wouldn't forget. Not a bad thing, is it, to keep a journal, to keep a diary? I confess I don't. My excuse is pressure of time, but others, doubtless more busy than I, have found time, so it is a feeble excuse. But in the Puritan age, Christians generally wrote journals. And when something happened, a visitation from God, a wonderful happening which turned life around, they recorded it, like David in this psalm. You'll find in the Bible other ways in which people sought to keep this in memory. Pillars were sometimes raised. Altars were sometimes built. Places were sometimes renamed, like Bethel, the house of God, in order to preserve the memory of what took place there. Children were sometimes named to recall events so that parents would never forget. A man in the Puritan Parliament called, praise God, Barebones. Praise God was his Christian name, Barebones is surname, praise God, Barebones. Why did they call him Praise God? No doubt to celebrate some wonderful blessing. And every time they looked at that son, they would remember God's goodness. It is important to remember. The Lord, David says, hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Now you may say, well, why should amazing happenings be remembered? Well, there are several answers to that. One is that God was in these things, and these are God's works, and he hath made his wondrous works to be remembered. And secondly, they are strange works very often. and marvelous works. How great are thy works, Psalm 92:5, and thy thoughts are very deep. So what God has done is not only divine, but it is profound, and it is also instructive. I shall show in just a minute, it teaches us many things which we need ever to bear in mind. The Lord wants it for his own glory. If God has done something for you in past years, he did it for his own glory. He hath made all things for himself. And therefore you run counter to the providence if you forget it. Because it was an incident intended to honor and to glorify God. And it will ever give you cause for praise. But secondly, it was for your good. And you will get times when you doubt the goodness of God toward you, the compassion of God and the faithfulness of God. Until that is, call up from the depths of the past that event which shows you beyond all unbelief that God cares, that he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. It could be tonight that you're in this place and you are depressed because a problem of great magnitude rises before you. You would be overwhelmed if you did not remember that the Lord hath delivered you from the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Jack, you've had times like this before, and God heard your cry, and God moved in a providential manner, and God sent relief. You may be fearful. Fearful because you don't think you can cope with what is fast approaching, that before which you shall soon stand. But the Lord delivered you out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. You think back on your Christian life and experience. There have been bad times. Times when you've been pressed almost out of measure. And he has delivered you from death and your eyes from failing. And he has brought you to your present station. There is no need for fear. His love in times past forbids us to think he'll leave us at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review affirms God's good pleasure to see me quite through. The lion and the bear. Remember what God has done for you. Satan would want to obscure it, but with your spiritual grace, recall it, and you will be saved from falling. And the darkness will not cover you altogether, and you will not fall on the field of life. The lion and the bear. And secondly, the Philistine. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Now the act of recall is every way useful. And let me open up this second point with what is more introductory in its nature and more general. It is exceedingly useful. Why? Well, here are some points. It overcomes atheism. When the devil tempts us to think that there is no God, our faith rests upon something altogether insubstantial. It is a dream, pleasant, but unreal. The remembrance of the way God has intervened and God has interposed and undertaken for you will answer the blasphemous thought of atheism. God's people have deliberately recalled. And the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. That is, by his righteous, faithful deeds, the Lord is known. And as you consider on reflection, so your faith in the reality of God be supported. Secondly, it is useful because it endears the Lord to us. We summon up the memories and we are refreshed by thoughts of God's great kindness to us over the years. And we come to this conclusion: there has been the lion and the bear, God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. Dear is the Lord to us. He is the one who has performed all things for us and makes all things work together for good to them that love God. The third use of it is that it melts our hard hearts when we remember what God has wrought. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth. Jeremiah 3:4. The speaker is overcome with emotion as he looks back and sees the invisible hand leading him through the labyrinth of life. My Father, he says. It is the antidote for a hard and callous heart to recall the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Fourthly, it enables us to praise God. Praise is comely and it is pleasant. But what the psalmist doesn't know, and we know too well, is that it is difficult. And it is difficult to praise God because we have short memories and because wonderful deeds have been lost to us. But as we look back over the years and these things come again to mind, we are filled with praise. Listen to the psalmist in that beautiful 139th psalm. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand of the sea. When I awake, I am still with thee. How precious are thy thoughts. Remember what God has done. The way God drew near. The way God managed my difficulties. The way God made a way of escape. The way God restored happiness to me. And why did he do that? Because he has thoughts of love for me. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. I will praise thee. It is a great help to worship, to let nothing lie forgotten. Fifthly, it promotes holiness. Because one of the great motivating causes of holiness is gratitude. And as we reflect on what God has done, we ask, what sort of people ought we to be? This is the force of Psalm 116, isn't it? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He's let his memory work. And the things that have been buried are raised. And they are with him in his experience once again. What shall I render for all of these benefits? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord and pay my vows in the presence of all his people. I will keep my promises. I will honor my vow. I will live holily by God's grace. Great inspiration to holiness. Sixthly, it provides us with a store we can't do without, a store of experience. You will recall the words of Romans 5 and how Paul there speaks of these very things. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience. Experience. And it's as you face the lion and as you faced the bear that you had an experience of the power of God. And that is invaluable as you face further trials in your life and further dangers. It is invaluable to yourself. Experience shows God does not leave me at a time like this. I remember the lion. I remember the bear. Experience shows that God is more than a match for a ferocious beast. I remember the lion and I remember the bear. Experience shows he will not leave me and he will not forsake me. I remember the lion and I remember the bear. And lastly, the remembrance of the past and its events and its wonderful works of God gives us peace and it gives us hope. It gives us peace because we know that God has coped with crisis before. And it gives us hope. Because if he dealt with the lion and the bear, he's not baffled by the Philistine. And if he's brought you out of predicaments in past years, and you have been in straits, haven't you? Remember it now. You have been desperate. You have wept. Your heart's been broken. You've been at your wit's end. You've known not where to turn. Saved you from all your distresses. Hope thou in God. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Oh, it's so useful to remember that. But of particular use is the discovery of confidence and assurance thereby. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Ah, you haven't got there a weak, fickle man, have you? His name is not Thomas the Doubter. He's not Mr. Ready to Halt. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Whence comes this confidence, this courage, this boldness? Recollection of the lion and the bear. You have two passages from the New Testament which really are a commentary upon this. One is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul is reflecting on his own experience, and he recalls the time when he was in despair. And in verse 10 he says this: He delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. What's he doing? Remembering the lion and the bear. He delivered us. And from that comes his courage. He will yet deliver us. That is tremendous. And if you said to Paul, how do you know that he will yet deliver you? He would answer, because he hath delivered me. The second passage is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and the more poignant because the last letter Paul ever wrote. Verse 17 of 2 Timothy 4, notwithstanding, he's remembering, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by my preaching, or by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Here it comes. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Reference to Nero. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Paul, Paul, upon what do you base such expectation? I was delivered, and the Lord shall deliver me. So it gives us confidence. Here it is. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. Well, I must draw to a close, but let me just for a moment expand a little. Analyze, if you like, this confidence. What is its nature? Well, if David would answer, he would say this: God was with me then, when the lion and the bear came. And God is with me now. When I awake, I am still with thee. God hasn't left the earth, and he hasn't left me. Secondly, there is a very special providence which embraces me. Now, I believe in a general providence that God preserves man and beast. But I believe there is a special providence relating to God's people. Your heavenly Father knows what things ye have need of. See, as the apple of mine eye, and all things work together for good to them that are who are the called according to his purpose. That night, night when I heard the roar. That night when I heard the bark of the bear. My flesh quivered. But I tell you, God defended me by a special providence that night. And now I stand before the man of Gath. And that same care, that same defense is mine. Thirdly, David would say, the covenant is everlasting. And in the covenant which God has made concerning me, the document which he has drawn up relating to my life, all things are ordered and sure. What a phrase that is. 2 Samuel 23:2-3. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. All things and sure. So God has pledged himself to help me in every circumstance. He did at the approach of the lion and the bear, and he will at the approach of Goliath. Fourthly, David would say, our extremity is God's opportunity. When he seeth that our strength is gone, then the Lord will judge his people. When he saw me frighted before the beasts which approached my fold, he undertook. I cried out, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And he took over. And the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. And now I'm in the same extremity. There is no one in Israel who can face this champion. I feel moved in my heart to go out into the pit of the valley and to challenge him in the name of the Lord of hosts. But I'm only a lad. My extremity is God's opportunity. And he will not fail. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. David, again, no matter how great the problem, I tell you, a lion is an awful thing to meet, and a bear. Both are hungry and thirsty for blood, disturbed and challenged and confronted. An awful thing to bear. And so is this man of Gath. But no matter how dire my circumstance may be on this Wednesday evening, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea. Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. David would say, God is unchangeable. We'll term the immutability of God. He changes not. But who was it that stood by me when I faced those enemies of my sheep? It was the Lord God. And who will stand by me as I face the enemy of the armies of Israel? The Lord God. He has not changed. And you go back 10, 20, 30 years, and you've been in dire straits. And you've cried before God because you thought everything was over and life itself was almost lost. And God helped you. And I tell you, He is the same God. His years do not change. And lastly, David would say, God never fails. Everything else may, Saul's heart may fail, the might of the army might fail. God does not fail because he has said, I will not fail thee, and I will not forsake thee. A mother may forget her sucking child, that she may not have compassion upon the child of her womb. Yet will I not forget thee. But written upon the palms of my hands, and thy works are ever before me. God does not fail. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Take heart, my brother, and wipe away the tear, my sister, will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. As a church, we look back and we see what God has done. That gives me faith for the year to come and the years to come. And as a believer, I look back, and you too. Tonight, you do what you haven't done for a long time. To your own grief, you remember the years of the right hand of the Most High, when he delivered thee from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. And it is neither the time nor the place for your heart to tremble and your faith to waver and for your hope to disappear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Whoever your Philistine is, whatever challenges your faith, whatever appalls you, whatever threatens to destroy you, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. As the God of the past is the God of the future, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Amen.